Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. This is Apostle Johnny Floyd, and I'm always happy to come to you all and share the things that God is giving me on particular basis, whether it's dealing with people, business, moving forward, or sometimes standing still. And I'm just always want to be in a position to where I can disseminate and share with you the things that God has given me. And so, you know, it's Tuesday, March the 22nd. We've almost finished 1/4 of the year of 2022, and so much is going on and so much is happening. But before we get into those things, if you could go with me, pray with your brother, just for a few moments. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Father. We pray, God, that this night, Father, like any other night that we go before your people, that you speak. Father, you keep me silent. And Lord, that you speak into the spirit of those that are listening, Father. And God, as you utter those words, Father, oh God, we pray, Father, that I have completely decreased and moved out of the way, oh Lord, so they can receive a total embrace from you. Lord, we bless you tonight. God, we forever praise you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to even do this, and as we obey you in doing this, Lord, that you show yourself mighty and show yourself strong. We thank you, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you all know, for the last 3 weeks, I have endeavored to discuss the tabernacle. And it's interesting because a few years ago, and I believe it was, oh God, it's going on 10 years ago. In 2012, I was started teaching Bible class in Powder Springs, Georgia, in my aunt's basement. And what had really started out as being a discussion between her and I grew to be a Bible class that was beyond my understanding. And so people were coming and wanting to hear the things that they had not been taught. And I've always approached biblical texts in context and not making it sound or touch or reach or be something that it was never intended on being. Oftentimes people speak from a biblical perspective and they want to give you a revelation, something that God has revealed to them. And I'm not so much interested in what God has revealed to them. I'm more drawn towards what God had revealed to you. And the reason why I say that is because people rush into the building to see or to hear whatever the pastor has to say, and then they want to correlate that with what's going on in their life. And so can God speak to that man or woman of God and correlate it through your life by you being there? Sure, he can. There's no limitations to God. And so we want to be sure that you don't limit yourself as well. So the topic tonight is the tabernacle. But in its totality, there are some things that I want you to know or to be aware of as we discuss the tabernacle, right? So our base scripture has always come out of Exodus chapter number 25, verse 8 and 9. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to that, and it said, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." This is the King James Version. "According to all that I show thee after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it." And so we've discussed pretty much the things that happened that caused them to be in this place where God would require of them a tabernacle. And so we talked about that this is the time the children of Israel had come out of Egypt. Pharaoh has chased them now. God protects them. God provides for them. He takes them across the Red Sea on dry land. And that now they are out in a place that has been deemed or identified as the wilderness. And I've said before that the wilderness is not a bad place. It is not a bad place, right? We all have wilderness experiences. And what that is that it's a place that God has brought us to that he may now require something of us that he may spend some time with you. And so before I do that, though, again, we've laid that platform. There's some other things that I want to bring into place. And so we're still in the book of Exodus, but I'm going to add two more scriptures to this. And I'm not jumping or anything, but I'm giving foundation. And I want you to take this because I want to give it in context, okay? The first one is Genesis chapter number 1. And so many of you have heard me read this, and so I'm not going to read a whole lot of Genesis chapter 1, just a few verses. And so it's something that I want you to grab a hold of. And so from a background perspective now, listen to me real well. Moses is the writer of Genesis, and he's also the writer of Exodus. Okay? He's the writer of Genesis, and he's the writer of Exodus. So Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That's all I'm going to read. My focus in this is the portion of Scripture that says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, keep that in your heart now. Keep that in your heart. And so just want you to just maintain that. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Exodus chapter number 1, is what I'm going to read. And so I really want you to grab a hold of this. And as I read this, just hear me loud and clear. Exodus chapter number 1, verse number 1. And now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man in his household came with Jacob, right? Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. These are the 12 sons of Jacob, which Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. But Joseph was in Egypt already, and Joseph died. And his brethren and all that generation, and the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied, waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it come to pass that when they falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. And so let them out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, right? One of the cities' name was Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and all the manner of service in the field, and all that service wherein they made them serve with was with rigor. Now, the reason why I really want to read this is because I want to dive deeper off into the tabernacle, right? When I grew up, there were many people that spoke into my life, and I want to clarify it now. They had some things, whether positive or negative, they spoke things into my life. And I would think that majority of the people had positive things to say to me regarding when I was a child, what I would grow up to do or what I would grow up to be. Now, the interesting thing is that their depiction of who I would be was based upon who my parents were. So, yes, I am the son of a preacher. I'm the grandson of a pastor preacher. I'm the nephew of pastor preachers. And so around me, I had this cadre of men and women that their focus was on God. Now, whether it was religiously done or whether their heart was in it, their focus to them at that time was on God. And so because this was the cadre of people that I was around, there were people that were around them. So my father being a minister, there were people that respected him, so they was around him. So being a child, I was around them. And so they were, in some cases, look at me at the age of 4 and 5 and tell me that one day you're going to preach. One day you're going to pastor. And so they would say the same thing when it came to my mom's mom, Carrie Alexander. I call her Big Mama, you know, because she had the tendency to drop nuggets, you know, of life, church, or God on me on a consistent basis. And so so I had people speaking into my life as I grew older. Now, the interesting thing is that the older I became, the conversations changed because of now the status of my father. When I reached 12 and 13, he was no longer in the church. And so since I was living with him, now there were those that, again, a cadre of people that were around him that she was associated with, there was somewhat of a disconnect. So as he disconnected from them, their conversation about me changed. Y'all bear with me for a minute. I'm going somewhere. And so now it wasn't that I was going to preach. The conversation became, you're either going to be in jail, on drugs, dead, or living on the street. And so now, again, the older I became, the conversations changed. And, you know, as I grew older again, as a teenager, my father now rededicates his life to God. And, you know, the people that, again, associated with my father, their conversations switched back and said, one day you're going to preach. And so there was a disconnect now. So because at one point, you know, they say I was going to preach, the next point I was going to be in prison, the next point I was going to preach again, right? So they were not speaking into my life because they saw something. They were speaking into my life because they was watching my father. Are y'all with me? And so when someone doesn't really know you, they will try to do things to, I would say, speak negatively of you or be afraid of you to try to say or do things that will keep you down. Man, I hope y'all hear what I'm saying. And oftentimes, the derogatory or positive comments, you know, doesn't really have anything to do with you, but whom you were associated with or where the close association in your family came from. Some of us have grandparents that stayed in church. Regardless of their religious background, that foundation was God. And so because of that, it was because of them in some cases that many of you were drawn into what we call the 20th century church, where we went and we participated in religious activities, or we went inside of a building and we congregated together and someone sung and someone preached. And so it was from that they were drawing inspiration. And so that may have become a ritual for us as we grew older. Y'all trust me now. I'm getting there. I'm almost there. And so now, because of those rituals, we continue to do those same things. If for some reason that we were associated in our family with people that were used to being or working very, very hard for little money, then that somehow now associated it with us, because we saw the hard work and we saw the many hours, and now, you know, it was passed on to us, and either we could take what they've been doing and make it better, or we continue along the same way. Now, the thing that really kind of, you know, hit me in this as I was reading the tabernacle is that, you know, studying it now, there was a ritual that initiated this whole process. Because, you know, when you read Exodus chapter number 1, you discover that the children of Israel is in a foreign land. Joseph has now been the person that had begun to maneuver to save the lives of his brothers, you know, and with him are the 12 sons, and Joseph and his brothers are the sons of Jacob, whom his father Isaac and Isaac's father Abraham had received a word from God that was spoken over Abraham, but Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 sons were not privy to the word that was spoken over Abraham. They wasn't there when God said it. However, Abraham shared with Isaac. And Isaac shared that with Jacob. And Jacob now shared this with his sons, that there's a promise. Now, it's hard to receive that you have a promise when you are enslaved. Ooh. It's difficult now to have any type of good demeanor or insight that is positive when you hear something that was told that you are the chosen people of God and that there is a God and that God has this special place that he has created for you when you are being enslaved because you're growing in numbers. And the king is not aware of who your father is. That's an interesting perspective now. Because now, for those that don't know where you're from, they may be intimidated by the value that you have exuding out of you that is multiplying on other people and that is encouraging other people. They may be intimidated by that and look for some plan or some strategy to hold you down. Talking about the tabernacle now. And now, if this is not God's plan for you, the difficulty is now God has a plan for you, but yet you're living in a place or in a position where God's plan cannot be realized where you are. Oh, I'm going to take my glasses off real quick and wipe them. Can anybody, I know you all are listening and I know you read, can you grab a hold of the fact that God has a plan for you and where you are, it's hard to realize it because of the things or the situation that you may be in, and oftentimes it's not your fault that you're there. Maybe you were born into this situation and you cannot seem to find your way out. And the only thing you're holding on to is the promise of something big mama or grandmama or granddaddy told you. Man, that's interesting. You know, you now are existing off of the positivity of what someone said about you. You're living for that, trying to search for that, while the present reality is the negativity that you're in. I know I'm not going to finish this tonight. You know, you are remembering the positive stuff that was spoken over not just your life, but the life of the ones that had come before you, but you are experiencing the negativity of those that are intimidated because of who you are. And they have no idea of your history. They have no idea where you are or where you come from or who your family is. You know, they have no idea of that. And so they're looking at you on face value and not knowing that you are chosen of God, but they decided to make you do things that God never intended on you to do. As you are going through these ritual activities, and because there's a taskmaster over you, you know you're doing something and it doesn't fit with what God is asking of you, and you have problems reconciling that I have a God that loves me, but I'm in a position to where I'm unhappy and things are just not going the way I want it to go. How do I deal with this? And see, this is the issue that the children of Israel found themselves in, and yet the promise that God made is greater than the oppressive state that they're in. God makes a promise and he doesn't back up from his word, but that doesn't change your present reality yet. If y'all listening to me, tell touch a neighbor and say yes. You know, it doesn't change it yet. But there is something that is about to happen because it has to get you to a point now of where you can, watch this word now, move from where you are to the place that God wants you to be. Now watch it now, because the word move is powerful. That's why I read Genesis chapter number 1 you know, and so, but the Spirit of the Lord, right? The Spirit of the Lord moved. So the first thing that we need to recognize is that anything that God is involved with, He's moving with. It's not stagnant. It's not unfruitful. It has power to it. And so when the Spirit of God is moving, something is about to happen. And so now, in order for you to be able to get to the place that God is speaking in your heart, you have to be prepared to move. And now watch this now. Some of us, like the children of Israel, we move as God frees us, but we bring the mentality of rituals with us. I got to drink some water on them. Yet God can deliver you from the place that you're in, from what you are doing that causes you to be in bondage. And again, some of this is not your fault. You were born into this. But there's a promise that has been spoken well way before you were born that involves you. And it's difficult to grab hold to the promise. It sounds like crazy talk. You know, God didn't create all this, you know, for me. I don't have dominion. I can't ask him for anything. Why would God? He doesn't know me. So all these thoughts come in your head because you've heard the promise, but your present reality is in your mind is greater than the promise that God made before you were even born. That doesn't stop God from giving you a way out. Watch his word now. Move. If I could give you anything right now, it may not be to move physically. It may mean to move mentally, because your mental state is still where God delivered you physically from. Whew. And I know it might be hard for a lot of people to swallow, but you got to watch this word now, move, because if God's Spirit is moving and she's trying to not just move you physically, not just move you mentally, but move you spiritually. I'm not talking about emotional movement now. I'm talking about exiting one place to enter into something else. But now as you begin to enter in, you're bringing with you the mentality of someone having restrictions on you. You're bringing with you the fear of not doing what the taskmaster has given you. You're bringing with you the uncertainty that there is a God. You're bringing with you the unbelief that God has something dear for you. And then now watch this now. These things are working together against the promise that God has already made. It's not working against God. It's working against where your faith is. Because even though the children of Israel were no longer in Egypt, they wrung every ritual they had done while in Egypt into the wilderness. Now, this is where we have to do a self-check and self-reflect, because, this is the opportunity where you know God delivered you. You know God brought you out of a place that was not good for you. You got used to it. You know God done some things to get you out of that place because it wasn't healthy for you. You know, you survived it, but it wasn't healthy for you. You know, you came through it, but it wasn't healthy for you. And you've grown all of those unhealthy habits, all of those unhealthy emotions, all of those unhealthy thoughts with you, entering into a place that God wants you to be. I know y'all, I'm telling you now, I'm almost there because I'm dealing with the tabernacle, right? Now, here we go. What does this have to do with the tabernacle? Well, before God could give instruction on what to build that she may dwell with them, she had to get them to a place where the rituals, the bad habits, had been identified by them. And they said that he stopped all the bad habits, but that they were identified by them. And they had to agree to the plane. Watch it now. That God had to them. They had to move now. Again, they had to move. And so the tabernacle was a tent that was mobile. It wasn't stationary. It was mobile. And so if God was moving, then he wanted you to be able to move with him. Is it too complicated? You know, some of y'all know, you know, the circular songs is that when I move, you move, right? When I move, you move. And sometimes we understand this when we dance. When I move, you move. We understand this when we are working conjointly with any type of equipment. You know, we have to move in unison. And we see this with dancing. We see this with people that are flying airplanes and things of that nature. There's a movement of unison involved in this. We know that years ago, before they had trapped to peel the ground, they would take a yoke and put it around the neck of two oxen, right? The yoke was just a device that caused them to move together. They could not move away from each other because the yoke around their neck kept them moving together. Let me give a sidebar here. God has yoked you with him and you're fighting his movement. Can I deal with that sidebar for a minute? Because there's work to do. He's brought you out and now he's trying to yoke you with him. I'm not saying religion now, but mind you, I'm not dealing with religion. I'm talking about God has the yoke is a covenant that he has with you. And when he establishes that covenant, when he moves, you move. Watch this word now. Move. You become stable where you are. And there's a level of comfortability, but you got to move. The tabernacle is moving, right? God has to get you closer to the point where you can enter into the promise here on earth. You got to move. You have to move your anger for what happened to you. You have to move your dislike. You have to move your fears. You have to move all of these things that have kept you in bondage. You have to now extract those and leave those where they are, because you cannot operate efficiently, effectively. I didn't say you weren't going to make mistakes. I didn't say you weren't going to mess up. But, you know, so you cannot do this if you have all of these things that are weighing you down. Can't do it. You know, and it is written, you know, it says, lay aside every weight that so easily beset you. Lay it aside. Lay it down. Don't pick it up, because God wants you to move And he wants you to move freely. He wants you to move effectively. And if you're going to trust him, you have to shake off where you came from. You have to shake off what you've been through. You have to shake off what someone did to you. And you have to move with faith. Watch it now. Because now you got to trust God. You got to be able to hear from the Lord and move accordingly as he tells you. Because if you have fear, someone says, and I heard someone say, do it scared. Listen, I can't evaluate that. You know, do it scared. You're going to have faith in just this one step. I'm not saying you need to have faith by the size of the whole world. You just need a little faith, just a tad bit. And if you take that little faith that you have, you deliver it to God. This is, and listen to what I'm telling you now. You can say it, Lord, I don't believe much, but that I do believe, Father, I'm trusting you. Don't believe much, oh God, but that I do believe, I'm trusting you with it because I see you have moved me out. I see you have taken me out of the place that I have been in because the tabernacle now is a place where God will dwell with you and where he wants to dwell with you, where he wants to empower you, to prepare you to walk into the promise. So this tabernacle now is more significant because it registers the first place that God now has a position after the children of Israel have been delivered, that they would now hear and experience the power of God. This is a special moment. This is a special place. And I'm talking to a lot of people and I'm cautious, I'm careful, you know, but I'm not here to tell you you got to be Baptist, you got to be Methodist, you got to be Pentecostal, I'm not here to tell you any of that stuff. What I'm telling you is that if you've experienced, some don't even know they're in bondage. Let me go back for a minute. Some are still in bondage and not aware of it. Some have been, you know, has experienced the exodus out of bondage, but you still have this bondage mentality. And because of that, God can't get you to where he wants you to be. Don't walk around in the wilderness asking God, what shall I do when he's told you to move? Get to it. Whatever he has asked of you to do, the simplicity is for you just to do. Doesn't get any complicated. It's not. It's just for you to move. It doesn't mean move to another city. I'm not saying that. But if that's what God told you to do, you should do that. You know, sometimes it's just to move on the very thing that God has given you. You got to be willing to make these steps and get out of the mindset that has you locked up right now. You have to be free from that. As a matter of fact, real quick, let's pray. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh Lord, for those that are listening, oh God, that their minds are still locked up when you have delivered them from bondage, oh God. You have them out in a place right now, Father, where you can talk to them And Lord, they're unfamiliar with this because they're used to being oppressed. They're used to people taking advantage of them. They're used to, oh God, people using them. They're used to this, Father. And God, this is not the reason why you brought them out to experience any of that, oh Lord. So God, Father, I pray, God, for the position that I'm in, for the place that you have placed me, that you, Father, show them more. Be with them, oh God. Show them that you're standing with them. Show them that you're right there with them and that you have delivered them out of the hand of the place that kept them down. We bless you, oh God, in Jesus' name we pray. Dear hearts, I'm really wanting you to grab a hold of this. The next things that we're getting ready to experience, you have to be free to move when God moves. Y'all hear me now? You have to be free to move when God moves. He's established a place that is only for you and for him. He's done that. And if you meet him in that place of which he's established for you, he's going to get you closer to the thing that was said to your ancestors that they never got an opportunity to experience, but you will. You will. All the positive talks and the trueness of what so folks said, you this is by faith that you're walking this way. All the negativity that they spoke, you know, this is by faith that you leave that negativity where it is. Today is your day. Tonight in this hour is your hour. Regardless if you listen to this and it's recorded, you went back on to listen to it and pull it back up, you know, you now, I'm not talking about a whole group of people. I'm not talking about a whole cadre or a company or I'm not discussing. This is individually for you. Whatever God has said directly to you, now is the time to do. Now is that time. Nothing else can stand between you and God. He delivered you to let you know they couldn't deal with him. He brought you out because there was nothing anybody else to do. They couldn't stop what God was doing. Dear heart, it's a blessing to be able to share with you tonight. And I tell you, the thing I cherish the most is not that I have made it, because I haven't. I'm still in this fight with you. But even when it's difficult for me to move, I move. And I don't give a lot of explanations about it, but I move. It's not as easy as one makes it sound. It's not easy for me, but when God says move, I move. And do I hear everything? No, I struggle sometimes listening to God. And the reason why I struggle is because I want to do something else. And I can convince myself if I want to that, you know, God has asked me to do this and I'm doing it and I'm doing it and God hadn't opened his mouth and said anything to me about doing it. I can do that. You know, it's not going to make what I say true. You know, because I become responsible for that. So you have to now do a self-evaluation. No, nobody else can evaluate you. That's impossible. No one else can evaluate you. You know, you sit down and talk to a shrink all day long. No one else can evaluate you. Now you have to reflect upon yourself. Stand in that mirror. Look at that person. And ask yourself a serious question. Am I taking old mentality? Am I bringing old habits with me?
because God has delivered me. Is my hesitancy on obeying God keeping me? Yet I'm out of abundance. I'm in the wilderness, but I haven't gotten to my promise yet. Look at this tabernacle now. This is the key element to getting you to move closer to your destiny. It's amazing, isn't it? This is the key element that is going to get you closer to your destiny. The importance now of the tabernacle in your life, the structure that God has created on the inside of you that he may dwell with you, and that he can get you closer to the things that he had promised you. Because in this tabernacle, man, is his word, power, his ability to clean you up, and he places that in a covenant, the Ark of the covenant that he's established with you, and he wants you to sit on top of this covenant as he comes now and spend some time with you. Well, dear heart, again, you know, it's been a pleasure. God has been extremely good. And as we witness the things that are happening across the globe in this world, and maybe something, some crazy things or good things happening where you are, I want you to remember something, that it is God that fights our battle. It is God that delivers us because you have a promise. And it is God that wants to spend time with you that he can get you to your promise. Amen. Well, I know I have about 10 minutes left and necessarily don't want to go and say some things that God didn't give me to say. But again, I want to encourage you all, and I hope I have, because that's what God asked me to do, was to encourage them. And I hope I have. And I believe I've encouraged some of you all. Write me, send me a message. I see all the comments, and let me know, you know, what God is saying to you. Amen. Blessings.